Okay, welcome back to the Leadersmith podcast. It is Twitter Tuesday, and I'm back on Twitter. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so I'm back on Twitter, and I'm looking through, and I found some really useful gems here. The first one I want to start with is from the Center for Creative Leadership. If you're not familiar with the Center for Creative Leadership, I use one of their textbooks in my class. They provide a lot of really good, thoughtful, academically sound leadership material. So this first one is the four keys to influence others. And those are listed with little icons. The first one is organizational intelligence. The second one is team promotion. The third one is trust building. And the fourth one is leveraging networks. Now, these are all critical keys to leadership. Let me go a little bit deeper into it. Under organizational intelligence, it says this: understand your organization's formal and informal structures. Okay, so that's good. Understand the policies, understand who really makes the decisions, put all that together, and you can understand how to navigate within the organization. The second one, team promotion, says promote your team and yourself to create more visibility for the work that you're doing. And yeah, you do need to promote your team, especially if you're the team leader. You need to be out there promoting your team. You need to be out there being the chief cheerleader. The third one is trust building. It says build and maintain trust to guide people through risk and change. Now, trust is critical because you're not going to take a risk if you don't trust. So you mitigate risk, you make change happen faster when you build a culture of trust. And then finally, leveraging networks. It says recognize and cultivate the power of your network to create change. And I used to be of a mind where this wouldn't have been of high value, and now I recognize just how important it is for a leader to be able to recognize and leverage networks, because you're going to amplify your success if you can do this. Okay, so those are the four. Again, they are organizational intelligence, understand how the organization actually works, promote your team, build trust, and leverage networks. Okay, next one. This is just a meme of Stephen Covey. It's his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And this is from Action Complete. Action Complete posts a lot of really good things on Twitter at Action Complete. And it just lists 1 through 7. So if you have not read the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, what are you waiting for? I mean, this is like a classic in the field that will help you just run the ball down the field and understand how to be productive at work. So here, Action Complete has posted this meme. It is 1 through 7 of the 7 habits. 1, be proactive. Don't wait for things to come to you. Don't blame the system as if the system's to blame for your problems. Go out and do something. Execute. Take action. 2, begin with the end in mind. So, he has this example of you don't want to get to the end of your life and realize that your ladder, climb to the top of the corporate ladder and realize your ladder's against the wrong wall. Understand what it is that you want to do and start, reverse engineering how you're going to get there. 3, put first things first. Pretty simple. You got to have priorities and do the right thing in the right order in order to get where you're going. 4, think win-win. So the more that I read, the more that I'm astounded by how successful businessmen only think in terms of win-win. I mean, really, truly successful, the kind that you want to emulate. I don't mean people that have been able to rip somebody off. I mean, the truly sustainable, successful businessmen think win-win. Because if it's not a good deal for the other guy as well as me, then it's not going to have life of its own. It's not going to continue after the short deal. We're not going to be able to come back and do another deal. So think win-win. If we can create a system, and you can, because the world is abundant if you really think about it. There's a lot that can be done. There's deals that can be struck where you benefit and I benefit simultaneously, and we're both better off. Think win-win. 5, seek first to understand and then to be understood. That is a easy one to understand and very difficult one to put into practice. Because even when you're trying to do that, very often what you'll do is you'll say, oh, no, I want to understand you first. And what you're doing is you're letting them talk in order to check off the box, but you're really formulating your own ideas of how you're going to answer or how you're going to improve this on the other side. No, seek legitimately to understand, to walk in their shoes. And when you do, something transformative takes place. You just become different in that process. Number six, synergize. Look for those. And this is kind of like win-win, but you're looking for those places of synergy where you can have a multiplicative effect by working together or working on a process. I'm seeing a little bit of this now where, you know, I didn't originally. So I created this podcast. I started out in May. And I just thought, you know, what's the worst that can happen? I'll do daily shows. It won't take very long. I already know the material, right? There's some synergy there. But when I started out, I'm just launching it out into the world and, okay, but I have to synergize. And so how do you get synergy? Well, I have to, let people know. So I let some people know on Facebook. Okay, but that's different than when I synergize by eventually creating a Facebook group. I talked about this in the last episode because I just did it recently. And the Facebook group is if you just go to Facebook.com/groups/learnleadership. Okay, as one word, learn leadership. And so in that group, now there's a multiplicative effect of people that I don't have to just go market it. These people already want to know about leadership. So they hear about leadership and they're growing along with me. And so there's synergy between the podcast, between the group, between things that we're already interested in, to the degree that you can synergize, to the degree that you can, work things so that it's not 1+1 or 2+2 or 3+3, but 3 × 3, then you're getting some synergy. You're going to have a much greater return. Okay. Sharpen the saw, and this, there's cycles in life. You have to rest. You have to rest in order to be replenished, in order to be productive. You can't just be productive. And a bad manager does not know that. A bad manager is just going to keep trying to grill you to be more and more productive. A bad manager is going to think in terms of, well, that day off that you have, that federal holiday, I wish we could take that federal holiday away so we could get in and squeeze out another day's worth of productiveness. No, that's the wrong way. I mean, if you think in terms of sharpening the saw, that holiday is going to actually, yes, so you will lose some productivity that day, but if you come back fresher and more able to hit the work afterwards, that's sharpening the saw and coming back and being more productive. Listen, if you've not read Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, you absolutely need to read The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Okay, so the next one, this is from Halo Psychology. This is Goleman's. It says Goleman's Golf Clubs. I don't know why it says golf clubs. So what it is 6 leadership styles from Leadership, The Power of Emotional Intelligence by Daniel Goleman. You'll also find it in one of the books that I used in a leadership class a number of years ago, another book by Daniel Goleman, where he talks about, and I only used the first like 3 chapters because it covers all of these styles in it. But I think this is really useful. So the coercive, authoritative, affiliative, democratic, pace setting, and coaching. And not all styles are created equal. So under coercive, they have a little stick figure and then tells you what the style is like. And so under coercive, now most of us don't like to work for a coercive leader, right? Coercive leader says, do what I tell you. And it says this style demands immediate compliance and is best used in a crisis to help kickstart a turnaround. Okay. Now, many people, that's all that they know. And so Goleman will say that the best leader is able to rotate between these different styles for whatever are the correct purposes. And we have default styles. If your default style is coercive, that's probably not going to serve you very well. Just do what I tell you, follow orders. You'll find more of that in kind of a highly structured military-like kind of environment than you will in most business. But there are some old school businessmen that just think in terms terms of coercion. They confuse loyalty to them and their orders with loyalty to the organization, and that becomes a real problem. So a coercive style, do what I tell you. By the way, so some have positive results and some have fairly negative results. This is one of the two that has fairly negative results, just being employed in and of itself. Okay, so coercive style, not necessarily the best way of approaching things. Now, a second way is authoritative. Now, that's not authoritarian, that's authoritative. And the little stick figure saying, come with me. And yeah, that's the idea. I know what I'm doing. Now, follow my lead. And it says this style mobilizes people toward a vision. It's best used when changes require a new vision or when a clear direction is needed. Okay, so you're being clear, you're being directional, you're being maybe even a little forceful about it, but not overbearing in that process. Authoritative, now that's one of the four styles that is going to have generally a positive effect. Okay, the next one is affiliative. Affiliative, the little stick figure says, people come first, and the affiliative stick figure is holding a heart, okay? That means, so affiliative, it's like the people person. It's, I care about you. Let me wrap my arm around you and give you a hug. That kind of person. Okay. It says this style creates harmony, builds emotional bonds. It's best used to heal rifts in a team or motivate people during stressful times. So this person is all about the relationship and, you know, taking care and thinking about others. That's good. We want leaders to do that. It can't just be that, but that's a really good place to be. In fact, if I have to choose from all of these particular styles, I kind of want that person more than maybe some others. Okay, the next one is democratic. The democratic stick figure is here saying, well, what do you think? And that's good too. It's also going to solicit responses from us and cause us to take ownership over things. Okay, it says this style is all about forging consensus through participation. Best used to get buy-in or consensus or to get input from employees. So a democratic style, like affiliative, like authoritative, is going to generally give positive results in leadership. Next one is pace setting. Pace setting has this little stick figure and he has a gold star. Now, my default leadership style is to be a pace setter, okay? And the little stick figure is saying, do as I do now. And it says this style sets high standards for performance, best used to get quick results from a highly motivated and competent team. Okay, remember I said there are four that get great results and there are two that get negative results. Pace setters tend to get negative results. And the reason is they're always pushing for more and more and more and more. And you know, again, I want to improve. I want to get better. But that's going to burn out your team unless you're hyper affiliative and you're really clear about what your goals are and you're coaching them well and things along those lines. So pace setting in and of itself is more often a negative than not. So what I did was I realized that I was doing this and I turned it against me. I paced it against myself about being a better professor, about being more affiliative, caring more, being quicker to get back to students or those kind of things. When I'm pace setting against myself, I become that example. Rather than just prodding others on to do those things. And then the final one is coaching. Again, four are positive. Only two are negative and four are positive. So here's the fourth positive one. It's coaching. What could you do, says the little stick figure. So it's kind of trying to prod you on in a Socratic kind of way. What is it that you need to do? So that it says this style focuses on developing people for the future. It's best used to help people improve performance or develop long-term strengths. So again, the coach, and you know what a coach is like, everybody's had a coach somewhere along the way. Even if you think about a teacher or a gym teacher or something, he's still kind of coaching you along. But a coach is going to look for your strengths and then help you discover your strengths and kind of push you along. But it's different than pace setting. Pace setting is just kind of go, go, go. Coach is trying to more gradually help you and help you think through it rather than prod. Okay, so those are the six styles that Goleman identifies. Again, they are coercive, which is negative, authoritative, affiliative, democratic, pace setting, and coaching. And again, coercive and pace setting can go wrong. A coercive almost always goes wrong unless there's a crisis. In a life or death situation, coercive may very well be the right place to be. Pace setting goes wrong if it's a constant, which is how I was doing it. So you got to be careful with that. If you are a pace setter like I was, like I still am, but you have to have a hearty dose of affiliative and coaching along with it. Maybe some democratic and authoritative in the mix. Pace setting and authoritative, I mean, it kind of is authoritative in its process, so I'm not worried about that. And democratic, you want to get their involvement and their input, but you have to have a healthy dose of coaching and affiliative. Remember, affiliative is people come first, and then you have democratic, pace setting, coaching. Okay, so all that to say, there are these six different styles, and Goleman's conclusion is the best leaders rotate between these different styles in order to maximize effect, although you tend to park on one or another. Okay, now Goleman's no slouch. He's a Harvard professor who's written multiple books on emotional intelligence. So please take this to heart. Okay, so that's all that I have today. And, I'm trying to keep this to about 15 minutes or so, not a whole lot longer than that. And I know I only got through three, but they were three very powerful memes of what we're talking about. Again, the first one was from the Center for Creative Leadership, top-notch academic organization. The second one was one of the most popular business books of all time. And again, Covey taught it at Brigham Young. I mean, he's no slouch in his own right, Harvard educated. And then the third was by Daniel Goleman. So I didn't get through very many of these, but I got through some really thick academic concepts that will help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. Thanks for your time. Hey, and if you like this, please consider subscribing or telling others who would like this material also, because we want to help others become the kind of leaders that they would want to follow.